This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati amalina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Amma ba'd. Inshallah we're going to continue with hadith number 54. From the book Umdat al-Ahkam, and the hadith states, "An Abi Minhal Sayyar ibn Salam, Sayyar ibn Salam, قال, دخلت أنا وأبي على أبي برزة الأسلمي, فقال له أبي, كيف كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي المكتوبة? So Abu Minhal Sayyar ibn Salam, he said." دخلت أنا وأبي. I went and I entered upon myself and my father على أبي برزة الأسلمي. Of course, this is the companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال له أبي. And my father said, كيف كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي المكتوبة? How did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray the obligatory prayers? I mean the five daily prayers. So he said, فقال كان يصلي الهجير التي تدعونها الأولى هنا تذهب الشمس. So he used to pray the hajir, which is the dhuhr prayer, right? التي تدعونها الأولى. This is the first هنا تذهب الشمس, and this is when the time in which the sun has already pushed past the horizon. Which means push past the zenith, which means it's already at the high point, we said, and then after it moves from that high point, that's the beginning of Dhuhr. So we have the zenith is that when the sun is right above your head, if you're at the equator. We mentioned, so this hadith is similar to hadith Jabir that we mentioned before, telling when the Prophet ﷺ prayed also. And then Faqal, and then he said, ثُمَّ وَيُصَلِّ الْعَصَرِ حين تضحل الشمس ويصلي العصر ثم and afterwards then he would pray Asr. So when he prayed Asr, so when, how did you know when we prayed Asr? What time was it? ثم يرجع أحدنا إلى رحله في أقصى المدينة والشمس حية. And so he said, after that we would pray Asr, he would pray Asr, and then one of us would go back to our places at the far reaches at the end of the city, meaning they would walk, and was shamsu hayya, and while the sun was still, in other words, when you say shamsu hayya, it means it's still high on the horizon, it's still high, it means that it's not close to the horizon, it's not close to sunset. Was shamsu hayya, I mean it's still very, very bright outside, and the sun is still up, very high off of the horizon. وَنَسِيْتُ مَا قَالَ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ. And then I forgot, the narrator, I forgot what he said concerning Maghrib. وَكَانَ يَسْتَحِبُّ أَن يُؤَخِّرُ مِنَ الْعِشَاءِ أَلَّتِي تَدْعُونَهَا الْعَتَمَةِ. He said, and he used to love, he preferred to delay the Isha, al-Isha, أَلَّتِي تَدْعُونَهَا الْعَتَمَةِ, that you call, the al-atama means in time of darkness. You call that. That's what some of the companions, some people call the. In other words, the night prayer, the time of darkness. وَكَانَ يَكْرَهُ النَّوْمَ قَبْلَهَا, and he used to dislike sleeping before it. وَكَانَ يَكْرَهُ النَّوْمَ قَبْلَهَا. قَبْلَ what? قَبْلَ عِشَاء. He did not like to pray, to go to sleep before Isha. That means between Maghrib and Isha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he did not like to pray to sleep before that. Wal hadithu ba'daha, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not like to speak. In other words, he did not like to stay up after Isha prayer. Wa kana yanfatilu min salat al-ghadat hina ya'rifu ar-rajul jalisahu. وَكَانَ يَقْرَأُ بِالسِّتِينِ إِلَى الْمِئَةِ. So here, وَكَانَ يَنْفَتِلُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْغَدَاتِ. صَلَاةِ الْغَدَاتِ is, remember he started with Dhuhr, right? That's the first prayer. Yeah. For them it's the first prayer in the daytime. Because Fajr is still at night time, right? And so he said, and he used to leave, he used to finish with his Fajr prayer, Hina ya'rifu rajul jalisahu, when you start to recognize who is next to you. The person sitting next to you, you would recognize him. وَكَانَ يَقْرَأُ بِالسِّتِينَ إِلَى الْمِئَةِ. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite between 60 and 100 verses. This is for what prayer? For Fajr prayer. So what is this? So all of this hadith, inshallah, this is the hadith, and we'll mention some of the sharf. And so this clarifies some aspects of the prayer time and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray. And so he said, he would finish the Fajr prayer when you would recognize. Why wouldn't they recognize when they started prayer? Because the masjid was dark. So when he started prayer, if you were in the masjid, it was still so dark that you wouldn't recognize who was praying next to you. Because even though you're close to them, because it's so dark, you wouldn't be able to recognize them. When he finished prayer, then you would recognize them. Why? Why? Because he would pray to the point where when you finish prayer, then it would become brighter. So during the time of prayer, before prayer you can't recognize the person next to you, and after prayer, then you can recognize. So this particular hadith is similar to the hadith of Jabir that we mentioned before about when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, in Kitab al-Mawaqit, Mawaqit al-Salah. This is a book. This hadith is found in Sahih Bukhari, this particular wording on this book, hadith, and Kitab al-Mawaqit, in the book, in the chapter on the prayer times, Bab al-Waqt al-Asr. So this is the time of Asr. And so why? Because it clarifies also what time the Asr prayer that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. So قَوْلُهُ, so when he said, دَخَلْتُ أَنَا, so remember this is Abu Barza al-Aslami as a companion. So the narrator, person's narrating the hadith, he says, I entered the masjid with my father. And when you say dakhaltu ala, what is dakhaltu ala? Dakhaltu ala means, in the Arabic language, you entered something and they were there. Dakhaltu ala, when you entered a house or entered a room, finding someone there. Meaning, I entered the house while he was there. So dakhaltu ala. And so he said, so Abu Barza al-Aslami is a companion. فَقَالَ لَهُ أَبِي, so my father said, كَيْفَ كَانَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُصَلِّي الْمَكْتُوبَ. So of course now, so this is of course the next generation, and they're asking because they didn't witness, they weren't there during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And notice the companions are here, right? The companions are there, but they're always asking about what happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? They want to know, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray? Meaning, what time and how did he used to pray? And so, this particular question, if you look at it, if you listen to it, كَيْفَ كَانَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُصَلِّي الْمَكْتُوبَ. How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray his obligatory prayers? What is he asking about? He's asking about the prayer time, I mean prayer actions, right? Okay, how did he used to pray? How did he used to pray? But Abu Barza al-Aslami, he heard from based on his answer, he says, of course, it's as if he's asking about the time. Right? So he understands from it as if it's the time. Oh, you want to know how he used to pray? Oh, this is when he prayed. This is when he prayed. So he's telling him the time, even though the questioner seems to be asking, why? About when to pray. Well, because he says, كَانُ يُصَلِّي الْحَجِيرُ أَلَّتِي تَدْعُونَهَا الْأُولَى. So this is, he used to pray the morning, the noon prayer that you guys call it the first. هِنَا تَضْحَبُ الشَّمْسِ وَسُمِّيَتِ الْحَجِيرُ. The word hajir itself is that الْحَجِيرَ is the time in which it's noon time. That's like high noon. Like high noon during that time. So the word hajir here is like, this is the time in which it's the hottest, when the sun is right above your head. And so he's speaking about Dhuhr, and they used to call it, so, وَسُمِّيَتُ الْأُولَى. الْأُولَى means the first. They used to call it, did you, al-ula, the prayer, the first. So every single culture sometimes, you know, like now we call it the maybe the noon prayer. Some people call it, you know, in some countries, the lunch prayer based on their language that they're used to using. But during that time, they said, you guys call it, which means what? The ones that people call now. Because the next generation, because each generation, they have like certain names for certain prayers. And then it changes based on the generation, based on the people that use it in terms of the language that's used. And so he's saying to him, he says, that which you guys call the first prayer. And why did you call it the first prayer? Why did they used to call it the first prayer? Because لِأَنَّ جِبْرِيلُ أَمَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِهَا أَوَّلًا. So there's a hadith that shows that there's another hadith in Sahih Bukhari. When Jibril came and he told, when the prayers were first, you know, made obligatory, Jibril came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He didn't come during Fajr time. When did he come? And when did this happen? Anybody know when this happened? When this happened? When did Jibril come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taught him the prayer times? He taught him, he says, this is when you pray this. And then he came back again and said, this is when you pray the whole time. This is when you pray the Asr time. This is when you pray the Maghrib time. When did that happen?
In the morning?
No, he came during the prayer times. And he said, this is when you pray the whole time. What year was it and where was it? When did this happen? Anybody know? When was prayers first made obligatory?
Mecca.
In Mecca. When was it? What happened? What after what incident? Like this, it was obligatory. Next day, Jibril comes and say, "Okay, this is when you pray the 5-day prayer."
To.
Very good. When he went to Isra and Mi'raj, when he went to Mi'raj and he met Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala made the 5 daily prayers obligatory. Right before that, it wasn't obligatory. There were no 5 daily prayers that were obligatory. So now, Jibril comes, and so what's the first prayer that Jibril comes to teach? Because remember, it's already, Fajr has already passed. Remember when the Prophet ﷺ comes back, and he's talking to the Quraysh, that's already in the morning. Like, Fajr's over. And they're discussing the matter, right? They're like, did you, you know, and Abu Jahl and others, they were making fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, did you hear what Muhammad just did? Did you hear what he just said? Did you guys hear what he just said? He said he went to Jerusalem last night and he came back. Right? Why were they saying this? Because in those days, there's no way for a person to go to Jerusalem and come back. Nowadays, can we do that one day and a few hours?
Sure.
Yeah, we have planes. Like, if I told you, like, I told you, like, last night I was in Mecca. Would you believe me? If I would it be possible?
It is.
Is it possible for me to be in Mecca last night?
No. Yeah, because 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I could have prayed in Isha and Maghrib. I could have prayed in Mecca yesterday, and I prayed Maghrib with you guys today. Like, how far is that? That's very far. But imagine, he says, you know, last night I was in Jerusalem. For us, that's normal. Right, we can do that because we know the transportation. We can fly. We can go very quickly. But in those days, it was like what? It was like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying. It was saying this. This is why the companion. This is why the Meccans were laughing. It's like somebody saying, like the Imam is saying. Imam tells you in the morning, like, you guys, last night I prayed Isha on the moon. I went to the moon and I came back. What would you do if the Imam said that? What would you guys say? Like, I think we might need a new imam. Right? He said he prayed on the moon. He went to the moon and came back. Right? We might need a new imam if the imam says he went to the moon and came back. Like, what are you talking about? Do you know how can he say you went to the moon and then came back? There's something wrong. Right? That's not possible. So in Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that he was in Jerusalem last night and he came back, that's a two-week journey there and back, at least on the quickest, fastest horse, the fastest you could go was 1 week, and then come back. And usually it's more longer than that. That's if you're like speeding all the way nonstop, and you go and then you come back.
Yeah.
And you're saying one night you could do that? That's not possible. And that's why they were making fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that morning. Right? And that's why when they went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, did you hear what your companion said? Did you hear what he said? They were trying to shake his faith. And he said, I believe, if he said it, then it's true. He said it, it's true. If he said it, it's true. I believe more than that. I believe the revelation came from the heavens to him. why would I not believe that he went to Jerusalem and came back? If he said it, then it's true. And so, of course it's true, right? And so, the first time, of course, when the Prophet went to Isra, Mi'raj, Isra is the journey to Bayt al-Maqdis, to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and then Al-Mi'raj is the ascension, right? The ascension. And by the way, you know, some people are always, you know, there's like big discussion over the Dome of the Rock, right? The Dome of the Rock. Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, is the Dome of the Rock, Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and so forth. The whole area. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. So all of that whole area is blessed. The Masjid al-Aqsa, the Dome of the Rock, that whole area is al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Right, the whole area, just like Mecca itself. Remember the old days? In Mecca itself, the whole area there, whole area of Mecca is al-Masjid al-Haram. Mecca itself is al-Masjid al-Haram. The Masjid al-Kaaba is, of course, the Kaaba, the one with the Kaaba, but the whole area, the sanctuary, is al-Masjid al-Haram. So the first, and so when he says, when he says to him, this is the one you guys call the first prayer, right? This is the one you guys, التي تدعونها الأولى, the one that you call the first prayer. Why was it the first prayer? لأن جبريل أم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بها أولا. So that's the time when, after everything happens, now you have five obligatory prayers. This is the first day that the 5 day prayers have been made obligatory. The first day, Jibreel comes and says, this is the time. So when did he come? He comes during Dhuhr time. He comes during Dhuhr time. وقوله حين تضحض الشمس. تَضْحَضُ الشَّمْسِ أي تَزُولُ. That means it's already passed. It moved. Yeah, it moved from the horizon. So because right when it's on top of your head, it's not permissible to pray. As soon as it moves from the zenith, from the point, that's when the beginning of Asr, beginning of Dhuhr starts. And then he says, وَيُصَلِّ الْعَصَرِ. وَيُصَلِّ الْعَصَرِ. Then the Prophet ﷺ would pray Asr. Okay, Abu Barzat al-Aslami is mentioning how the Prophet ﷺ prayed, meaning the time that he prayed, wa yusalli al-Asr, that he would pray Asr. Where is he praying? In the masjid, of course. Wa thumma yarji'u ahaduna ila rahlihi fi aqsa al-Madina. And so, one, we would go to our rahl. Rahl is the place where you have your animal, you sit, you know, like where you keep your animals, and fi aqsa al-Madina wa shamsu hayya. We would go to the end, in other words, the outskirts of the city. To the outskirts of the city, wa shamsu hayya. And so this one is what? Wa hadha yadullu ala annahu kana yubadir biha wa yusalliha wa shamsu hayya. This is an indication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray Asr at the beginning of the time, the beginning of the Asr time. Why? Because if you delay the Asr, what happens to the sun, right? When the sun is no longer hayya, it means that the sun is no longer on the horizon really bright. Why? Because once it moves, when it's closer to Asr, what happens to the sun? It's a little bit cooler. Right, and you look at the horizon, it's not as bright. It's not as bright as it is when it's like in the afternoon. In the afternoon, it starts getting a little bit, you know, not so bright. Why? Because the sun is near to the horizon. So this is an indication. أَنَّهُ كَانُ يُبَادِرُ بِهَا وَيُصَلِّهَا وَالشَّمْسُ وَشَمْسُ حَيَّةٌ. He used to pray it at the early point of Asr, the beginning of Asr, and he didn't delay it. He didn't delay the Asr prayer. And إِلَى رَحْلِهِ. And Rahl is actually, the word Rahl is what? Is your animal. Yeah, the animal that you ride. But when you arrive at your Rahl, that means that's where you tie your animal. So where do you tie your animal? At your house. And so that's why the origin of this word, it's like you say the word bait, from the word bata yabitu, means to spend the night, because that's where you spend the night. That's where you spend the night, your house. Rahl, is the Arabs also used to call that as your house. This is ila rahlihi, go to his house, because that's where you tie your animal also. And والقول, and he also, when he says وَالشَّمْسُ حَيَّةً, what does that mean? الْحَيَّةً, شَمْسُ الْحَيَّةً, it means it's still bright and not yellowish, not reddish. You know, when it's about to become, when it's about to set, it changes color. It's not white, it's not bright. It's sort of like an orangey, yellowish, or reddish color, right? And so, وَالشَّمْسُ حَيَّةً لَمْ أَيْ لَمْ تَصْفَرْ, it hasn't become yellowish and you know, the color, it's not that particular color yet. And so here, then after that, Abu al-Minhal, of course, is the narrator of this hadith, and he says, وَنَسِيتُ مَا قَالَ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ, and I forgot what he mentioned concerning Maghrib. And of course, we have plenty of hadith when to pray Maghrib. When do you pray Maghrib? Previously, we have the hadith of Jabir that we spoke about last week. And وَالْمَغْرِبْ إِذَا وَجَبَتْ, وَالْمَغْرِبْ إِذَا وَجَبَتْ. وَجَبَتْ in the Arabic language means سَقَطَتْ. That means it has fallen. وَجَبَتْ, it's something that has fallen and settled. Which means what? It means the sun, when you say وَالشَّمْسُ إِذَا وَجَبَتْ, it means it has already set. It's already set. What does that mean? You know, when something falls down, it's no longer moving. You can't see it anymore, it's gone. It's gone. Because once it's gone, then you don't see it moving. But if you still see the sun moving, then it's still moving. It's still falling. But when you say it has already fallen and it already is still, then in the Arabic language you say إِذَا وَجَبَتْ, and that's why you say wajib. When you say so wajib, that means it's stuck on you, it's mandatory, you have to do it. You know, you have to do it, something that you have to do. And so that's the origin of the word wajibat. And then he says, وَكَانَ يُسْتَحَبُّ أَن يُؤَخِّرْ مِنَ الْعِشَاءَ الَّتِي تَدْعُونَهَا الْعَتَمَةَ. And he وَكَانَ يُسْتَحَبُّ, and he used to, and it was preferred. And it was preferred that you would delay the Isha that you guys called Al-Atama. And in other words, all of the other prayers, when he's mentioning it, why is he mentioning this? Every single prayer, he's mentioning this. And he's mentioning specifically something that indicates that it was prayed at the beginning of its time. Right? At the beginning of each of the particular time that you're ordered to pray. And then he said, but for Isha prayer, he used to prefer that you delay it. So he used to prefer to delay it. And you know, one of the nights that when he delayed, remember we spoke about last time, that the Prophet ﷺ delayed it until it was for a very, very long time. Okay, he delayed and he came out really late, when everybody in the city, as Umar said, everyone is sleeping, the women and the children are sleeping, and the Prophet ﷺ said, "Innahu lawaqtuha, innahu lawaqtuha." This is the time. So after he delayed for almost half a night, or from the majority of the night, and it was so late already. لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي, if it wasn't so difficult for my ummah, I would have, this is the time for it. Meaning this is the preferred time. This is the preferred time for it. if it wasn't so difficult for my ummah. And when he says, التي تدعونها العتمة, you guys call this العتمة. And sometimes, you know, he said, and you guys call it العتمة. And عتمة means, this is in another hadith, that it's, you know, the Isha prayer has a particular name. And when you use another name for it, then it's something that's dislike. And so this, when he says, you guys call it العتمة, as if he is scolding them. He said, you know, you guys use this, the darkness prayer. You shouldn't use the darkness prayer. Even like, okay, darkness prayer. No, don't use this word. Use Isha, Salat al-Isha, right? And of course, Asha is what? Asha is dinner. Al-Isha is the prayer itself, Al-Isha. And he says, do not use Al-Atama, because Atama means darkness. So it's like saying the darkness prayer. What does it sound? It doesn't sound really good, right? Like, you know, when you always mention like, oh, are you going to the dark side? So something dark side, it's like it has a negative connotation. It's negative connotation. So it's as if Abu Barzah al-Aslami is reminding them that, you know, you guys call it Al-Atama. That's the one you guys call Al-Atama. That you shouldn't be calling it that, but this is what you guys call it, as if it's something that is, you know, something that is, you know, some of the scholars have mentioned that it's dislike. And is it dislike? Some of the scholars actually mentioned that it's not something that it's good to use that. And so is it, what is the ruling in relation to praying and delaying your prayer? What was the ruling on delaying the prayer? Well, the Prophet himself, he said, it is best, if it wasn't so difficult, that this would be the time for it. So if it's not difficult for you, and you're still going to be focused when you're praying, then it's best to delay the prayer. And of course, in the masjid, of course, if you do so, it might be difficult for the people when it's really late. So let's say, for example, like right now, we pray at 6:45, and we can pray a little bit later, right? Because it's still early, 6 o'clock is still early. So if we delay it, it won't be difficult for the people. Then it's okay, especially in the masjid, to delay it, if that's what's easiest for the people. Because sometimes, in some areas, Isha prayer comes so early that people are just coming from school, from work, like in the winter, right? In some areas that are further, a little bit further north. So if we pray, sometimes Isha comes in at 5 o'clock, right? And we know that most people get out at 5 from work. So 5:30, it's, you know, you're not gonna have a lot of people come pray. But if you delay it to 6:30 or 7 o'clock, then you have more people to pray. Then it's best to delay it until that time. Because it's preferable to delay, and you get more reward for delaying anyways, right? And so if you delay without causing any hardship for the people, then that time that you pray in the masjid should be that time that is more convenient for everybody to bring more people. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ used to check the people. Remember we said last week, he would wait. If people came early, then he would pray. If people were delaying, then he would wait until more people came. People, as more people trickled in, he would wait. Then he would see that the masjid's almost full anyways, and hardly anyone's coming, then he would come out. So that everybody was able to pray Al-Isha in congregation also. And those who are in the masjid, they're still getting the reward because they're sitting down. But for us, a lot of times people come to the masjid, they just wanna, it's like drive-thru. Like the masjid has become like a drive-thru. You just want to do it quickly and go. Drive-thru, quickly and go. And instead of coming early and staying back and waiting in the masjid and so forth. People just want, you know, like, they just like drive-through masjids. And it feels like this masjid is also a drive-through masjid, right? A lot of brothers coming in and going to work. They go to the airport or they're driving. They just want to come quickly and go. And so, you know, try to, inshallah, you know, when you're coming to the masjid, you'll make the time for it. And if you're sitting afterwards, waiting between, especially like right now, between Maghrib and Isha, the reward is very great that you're sitting here every single moment. You're being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sitting in the masjid. And if you're sitting in the masjid, as long as you still have wudu, you get the reward of prayer. Like, how difficult is it to stand up to pray for how long? Like everyone here, alhamdulillah, the few people that are here, every one of us, inshallah, we're sitting here, there's so much reward because the angels, inshallah, are enveloping the area. And there's a tranquility, there's a peace. You know, you might be, some of us might be a little bit tired and so forth, but there's so much reward in it that you are getting the reward of seeking knowledge, the remembrance of Allah. You're getting a reward of praying also. As long as you're in the masjid and you're waiting for the next prayer, as long as you're waiting for the prayer, then you'll get the reward of that, inshallah. And so, وكان يكره النوم قبلها والحديث بعدها أي بعد العشاء. So he used to dislike, وكان يكره النوم قبلها, he used to dislike sleeping before it. So what does that mean? Why is it disliked? Because between Maghrib and Isha, it's very short. So if you go to sleep and it's the end of the day, what might happen? You might end up sleeping and you continue to sleep until the Isha time is passed, right? So it's best to not sleep until after you pray Isha. But what if it's so difficult? Like right now, not at this time, but in the summer especially, right? In the summer, Maghrib comes in, and then between Maghrib and Isha, it's like 3 hours.
3 hours.
Right, over 3 hours. You pray maybe 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and Isha comes in at 11. Over 3 hours. Well, that's not normal, right? Over 3 hours. And if you wait, alhamdulillah, if you can wait that, that's good. But if you were to wait, you sleep, by the time you go home, it's 12 o'clock, and if you have to go home, work in the morning, you don't get enough sleep. So is it permissible to sleep? It's when he says, وَكَانَ يَكْرَهُ النَّوْمْ قَبْلَهَا, it's dislike to do so. But in certain situations, it's only dislike if you don't have someone to wake you up. So if you have an alarm clock, you have someone to wake you up so that you pray your Isha time, like in the masjid and congregation in time, then it's okay, especially when it's difficult, when there's difficulty. Because if you don't sleep, sometimes if you don't sleep before Maghrib, and sometimes if you don't sleep even after Asr, because The night is so short in the summer, right? In the winter, it's the opposite. Alhamdulillah, you have long, long nights. After you pray Isha, you can go shopping even, right? After Isha, you can go shopping. In the summer, you can't go shopping after Isha. Everything's closed. It's midnight, especially for us here, for us living here in Seattle. You know, Isha comes in very, very late. And sometimes the latest it comes, I think it's something like 11:40. 11:50, so by the time you finish, it's already 12 o'clock. And by the time you get home, it's almost 1 o'clock. By the time you go to sleep, you get to go to sleep. If you need to go to work at 5 o'clock, you don't have much time. So you need to find some other sleep in the daytime. So what can you do? If you want to sleep in those times, like after Asr, after Maghrib, just make sure you set an alarm clock. Set an alarm clock and set plenty of time for you to get ready and so forth. And if you feel that you can wake up, when the alarm clock, some people, you know, once they go to sleep, it's over, right? They don't wake up, no matter how you shake them and so forth. Well, then just wait, okay? You wait and you go to sleep during those times that you don't have to worry about the next prayer. But when you have such a long, it's dislike. Why? Because the time between Maghrib and Isha is so short, and he used to dislike. So when he says, وَكَانَ يَكْرَهُ النَّوْمُ, which means that it's not haram, If you wait until after Isha, it's better. You'll be following wal hadithu ba'daha. And he used to dislike sitting down and conversing with people, you know, like hanging out after Isha prayer. And that's something that's very, very important. It's sunnah to sleep early, immediately after Isha. Soon after Isha. Unless you have, you know, sometimes you don't have time to spend with your family at all, right? And then you're so busy in the daytime. And so now you need to give your family their right also. And so the Prophet ﷺ would not stay after Isha. He would sleep immediately unless he had, sometimes you have guests, unless he had to, you know, just, you know, spend time with his family and so forth. Yeah. Well, some people combine, or some people just pray, you know, pray earlier than when the time comes in. And we spoke about that, that as long as you still have an Isha time, then you should pray at its time. You should not pray before its time if there's no reasoning for it. There's no reason for it. So, وَيَكْرَهُ أَيَّنَامْ قَبْلَهَا يَعْنِي بَيْنِ الْمَغْرِبِ وَالْإِشَاءِ. So he used to dislike to sleep between Maghrib and Isha. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ النَّامْ قَبْلَهَا يُفَوِّتُ الْمُتَحَدِّثِ صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ. And also, what's one of the main reasons? When you sleep, what happens also? When you sleep before Maghrib, you know, when you get that sleep before Maghrib, then it's hard to sleep after Isha. Right? You already got your nap before Maghrib. And if you have your nap before Maghrib, then when you don't sleep early. And if you don't sleep early, what happens? When you sleep late, you're gonna miss the Tahajjud prayer. You're gonna miss the Tahajjud prayer, the last third of the night. Right, the last third. If you sleep the first part of the night and you wake up the last third of the night, then you have an opportunity to pray the Tahajjud. And so some of the scholars have mentioned that, or sometimes you don't wake up even until almost Fajr time, or even after Fajr. Because when you sleep, when you take a nap, it's good to take a nap in the daytime. It's qaylula. There's qaylula, which is the siesta, and they used to do this. And why? Because when you take a nap in the daytime, it gives you energy to wake up at nighttime. But if you take a nap too close to Isha, or at the end of the day, then you end up staying up at nighttime because you don't get sleepy. So if you sleep after Asr, you end up not being sleepy after Isha. And if you don't sleep after Isha, then you're going to stay up during Isha, after Isha, which is dislike, and then you're going to miss the night prayer. Or you don't have enough, you can't fall asleep at nighttime. By the time it's almost Fajr time, then you fall asleep, you might miss Fajr also. Because Fajr is usually very short. Between Fajr and sunrise is also very short. And so also, sometimes when a person sleeps at that time, when a person sleeps at that particular time, like Asr or Maghrib, when you wake up, how many times have you slept in those times when you wake up and you're like, am I supposed to pray Fajr right now? Right? And you get up, you think you're going to pray Fajr because it looks dark outside, right? And your mind like, oh, it's Fajr. Did I pray Maghrib or Isha? It's like, it's a very confusing time. It's very confused. You get very confusing time because it's like similar. And your body wakes up and you're tired. It's as if you woke up for a Fajr prayer. So when you wake up, when you sleep during those times also, that's what happens also. وَأَمَا الْحَدِيثُ بَعْدَهَا فَإِنَّمَا كُرِيَ. And you know, to stay up after Isha, is this like, well, hadith, that means you're just sitting down, like, you know, pretty much, a lot of people like to spend after Isha prayer, they like to do things after prayer. They like to sit down and talk. Unless you have a reason for it, a good reason for it, it's always good to sleep early. Even if you have a lot of things to do, like let's say if you have homework, or if you have things to do, it's always best to do it with a fresh mind. So go to sleep first and then wake up, and then you can do your homework even after in the morning. Or even if you need to do something, if it's at the end of the night and you are doing something, or you're trying to finish things up, your mind is not fresh. And so you end up what? You end up not doing it properly. Or you end up being tired, and so you are, when you don't do things properly, your mind is not fresh. You're not taking full advantage, right? So you're, even when you're studying, if you're studying, you spent the whole day doing so many things. Your mind is tired, your body is tired, everything is tired. And when you're trying to push yourself and you're tired, you don't do a good job no matter what you're doing. Now if you sleep first and you wake up, then of course, inshallah, you'll have more energy after that. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Barza, he says, the Prophet some dislike after Isha. This, if it's something that's not beneficial, if you're staying up and you're doing something that's not beneficial, then it's dislike. And he says, وَيَكْرَهُ الْحَدِيثَ بَعْدَ أي بَعْدَ الْإِشَاءِ حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَ الْحَدِيثَ even if it's beneficial, it's best to delay it. In terms of like, if it's not mandatory, if it's not a right and obligation that you have to do, if it's something that you can do it later, and it won't be harmful, you won't be taking somebody's right. Like if you have guests, of course, you know, you have guests, you take care of them, and you need to take care of your guests, then it's okay. But of course, if it's harmful, if it's waste of time, if someone, you know, just wants to stay up late because they want to do something that's not beneficial, then of course that's even worse. And so some people like to stay up, and when you stay up during those times, it also messes up your day. When you stay up at nighttime. Why? Because at nighttime, when you sleep at night, there's no replacement for night sleep. There's no replacement for night sleep. Even if you have to do something, like let's say you have some work at nighttime, if you can find a little bit of time sleeping at night, the night sleep is different than a day sleep. So that's why it's always best to spend your time, if you can sleep in the early part of the night, that's the best thing to do. And of course, there are some people who spend their time during the nighttime, especially nowadays. In many countries, they stay up and they are either watching movies or sitting down backbiting, or sitting down with conversations that are not beneficial, and even doing things that are haram. Of course, we say that this is. Not only is it dislike already to stay up, but to stay up when it's dislike, doing things that are haram, adds another level of haram to it. And so why? That's why when you look at it, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, they used to wake up for what? For the Hajjud prayer. And that's why when they pray for the Hajjud prayer, they've been up for a while. So the masajids during Fajr prayer are packed. And because people have left the sunnah, that's why you see the Fajr prayer has the least amount of people. Right? The least amount of people. Because why? Because everyone is not following the sunnah. And not following the sunnah. And so if you want to wake up for Fajr prayer, you want to wake up for Tahajjud prayer, you have to, the struggle is to sleep early. It's easier to sleep early than to try to wake up, sleep late and try to wake up for Fajr. Then your struggle is even more, because you're fighting against the shaitan and you're fighting against your body. Right? You have two enemies now. One is already difficult, but you're also fighting against yourself, right? And the shaitan also. But if you slept early, you got shaitan, inshallah. And the deception of shaitan in the kaid of shaitan can da'ifa, it's weak. If you're strong, inshallah, you can beat the shaitan. But your body, when it's like pushing you down because you didn't get enough sleep, you wake up and you just want to hit the snooze button. You just five more minutes, 10 more minutes, because your body is not ready to wake up because you slept really late. And so, as I mentioned, one of the exceptions to that, if a person has to do something, or sometimes, you know, you for people who are serious when it comes to seeking knowledge, sometimes that's the only time that they have. They can spend time seeking knowledge as long as it doesn't prevent them from, you know, waking up late. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he used to stay up, you know, in his house, subhanAllah. Abu Huraira in his house, he used to have always someone, at night time there's always someone up, right? At the beginning of the night, if he sometimes, many times he would stay up late and he would study and memorize the hadith, review the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so that's why it's permissible for someone to do that. But what did he used to do? He used to, when he would go to sleep, he would wake up his wife. And then she would stay up and she would pray. And then when she needed sleep, they would wake up the servant, or they would wake up the son or the daughter. And then they would be up. Why? Before, because in the old days, they didn't have an alarm clock, right? They didn't have an alarm clock. Nowadays, you can just say, Alexa, wake me up at 6 o'clock, right? Yeah, and then the alarm clock goes off. Like, you can just tell them. In the old days, so he used to like take turns so that every moment in his in the house of Abu Huraira, somebody was always praying. At the same time, because they used to prioritize that. They used to take care of the night, make sure that they would make full benefit, take benefit from those times at nighttime without missing what's, you know, mandatory, what's obligatory, like Salat al-Fajr. And so in continuation of that, وَكَانَ يَنْفَتِلُ مِنْ صَلَاتِ الْغَدَاتِ حِينَ يَعْرِفُ الرَّجُلُ حِينَ يَعْرِفُ الرَّجُلُ جَلِيسَهُ. This particular, of course, he would pray Fajr prayer, and they would finish the prayer when you would know the person next to you. So how would you know the person next to you? That's when it's already getting bright. And how does it become bright? If he's reading 60 to 100 verses, he's reciting, in those recitations, those two rak'ahs, is enough time for it to be bright already. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yaqra'u bis-sittin ila al-mi'a. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite between 60 and 100. And you have to understand also, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite? He used to recite very, very meticulously. And sometimes he would stop and then he would recite. He would recite slow. And so when when it's early, when he's praying 60 verses, you know, it's enough time for you. And he started really early when it's dark. It shows that he started early, because when you come to the masjid during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no light. So you would just come and you would line up. You could barely see the people. And then you would line up. After you finish prayer, then you would recognize the faces. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also, of course, he used to pray the sunnah prayer before that, during Fajr time, until the muadzin would come. And then he would sometimes lie down in the masjid, you know, just take a sort of like just rest a little bit in the masjid. And after that, the prayer, the muadzin would come, and then they would start the Fajr prayer. So what are some of the benefits from this hadith? Inshallah, we'll cover some benefits from this hadith. from the very beginning, we see that this hadith, we see that the scholars, the tabi'een, they used to ask about knowledge, and they loved knowledge, and they would ask the companions, like Sayyar ibn Salama, when he asked Aba Barzata and Kayfiyat Salat Nabi, ask about how the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. So when he asked, the asking itself is something that is, of course, means of seeking knowledge. When you have, he's not asking a ruling here, right? He's not asking a ruling. You have to, he already knows, like most, you know, you pray every day, right? You pray every day, but if you meet someone, you always want to review and seek knowledge and increase your knowledge. And so that's why he used to ask. And the companions before, they used to ask. And they used to ask because they used to seek knowledge. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know, then ask the people of knowledge. And even if you know, you want to know more, then you ask. And so it shows their eagerness and desire to seek knowledge. And so inshallah, we'll end it with that one inshallah. And we'll continue with this hadith, and then we'll go on to the next hadith inshallah, in the book of prayer inshallah next week. Anyone have any questions in relation to what we covered? Yes.
Well, what I do is sometimes you cannot wake up in the night time, and then you have to decide you fight the hajj.
Yes, can you pray the hajj at night time like before, if you're afraid that you're not going to be able to wake up? If you want to, you can pray. It's called Qiyamul Layl. Qiyamul Layl is just staying up, you know, getting up for prayer, or just night prayer, the night prayer itself. Whether you pray it after waking up, or you pray it before, but the best time to pray is when? The best time to pray is the last third of the night, of course. But if someone wants to pray right after Isha, then they can do so. And that's why some of the scholars, you know, some of the companions, even Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he used to pray before. He used to pray his witr prayer before going to sleep. Sometimes he would pray before going to sleep. As I mentioned, sometimes he would pray at the beginning, and then he would have someone, he would wake up his wife, then his wife would wake up the next person, and they would always have somebody awake. But it's permissible to do so. If you're afraid that you won't be able to wake up for Fajr, then you can pray your whatever you're able to pray. Two rakas, and then you end it with a witr prayer. But the best time to do so is at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Wallahu ta'ala. Any other questions? No, inshallah, we'll end it with that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong our life in His obedience. Until next week, inshallah, we'll see you again concerning next Wednesday, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits and benefit us from that which He has taught us. Jazakum Allah khair. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.